you're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome once again to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, part two for this month. It's great to have you joining us. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to it. I am Bane Leibscher, the director of Jesus Culture, joined as always by Zach Curry, who's heading up the church here in Sacramento, Becky Johnson,
hello,
communication director, as well as self-proclaimed head of all things podcast.
True.
And then also joining us periodically, the other leader of all that we do around
your
here.
Your much better half.
My much better half, my wife, CJ Leibscher.
Hello.
Great to have you hanging out with us. We're talking about a great topic this month about leading from generosity. But before we do that, I felt like since we're on this podcast, and CJ, you're not on it all the time.
Yes.
So.
But she listens faithfully.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She would never miss an episode of Grey's Anatomy. we won't get into the binge watching of that, but... But this is a whole nother issue. I don't even want to talk about TV shows right now. But my daughter is into this Grey's Anatomy thing now, and she literally is like, "Dad, I really think I could do open heart surgery if I needed to." Like,
she
really believes that she could operate on people, deliver babies because she's watched.
We
TV.
Have learned a lot.
Yes, yes.
I feel that way about Bear Grylls and surviving. feel like I can do it.
Oh, I can easily climb a glacier.
I actually watched some shows. I'm like, these guys are amateurs. I'm like, come on, don't you do your homework?
Yes,
come on, survival basic 101.
It's TV people.
I could be president.
I could save most people. Even when I see a car accident, I think I got this.
yes, there we go. So they have, now I don't know how opposite you guys are from your spouses. You and Derek are pretty opposite.
Really?
You and Melissa
pretty
opposite. Well, lots of times, you know, you marry people that have kind of opposite personalities, and you, CJ and I, make a phenomenal team, but definitely have some opposite personalities. One of them is... So we're all big Apple people, right?
Absolutely.
We all have
hands
Apple
down.
Computers,
Pink Lady,
and iPhones.
Fuji. Oh, Apple computers, right?
Becky,
Washington.
She's in rare form.
She's doing food.
Red Delicious.
Yes.
This is what's happened to her since she had her kid. Jokes have
corny.
Gone down.
She's become a mom jokes. Mom joke. That's a mom joke. Hey, Lucy.
Welcome, Becky. Welcome.
So one of the things that happened is I got an Apple Watch recently, which I'm stoked about, just excited about. I'm figuring all this stuff. And my wife, who is not a words of affirmation person at all, completely...
I think it's pretty dorky.
...shoots down my excitement about this Apple Watch. And so now every time I'm responding to a text by speaking into it, she's like... Stop it right now. You look like a dork.
Have you
look
you
like
ever
a dork.
Seen someone talking into their wrist?
I really want to... I really do feel... that Apple made this product just so they could watch people look as ridiculous as they do standing in line or in the middle of a room just screaming into your wrist.
I agree. It's ridiculous.
Did none of you guys watch spy movies or Star Trek as a kid?
All right, honey, I'm getting in a second.
And in your head think, how cool is this?
Over Roger.
No, I thought they looked lame too.
This is why I pray for you,
it's really
CJ.
Hey, our 16-year-old completely agrees with me.
Okay, hold on, though. Let me just back up right now. Since we'll have a quick counseling session on the podcast with CJ. Now, you guys can be the thing.
Perfect.
Why don't you remind everybody about how this was a very similar conversation when the iPhone came out. She had a flip phone Razor.
Ooh, I like right? those. I had one of those.
And the iPhone came out. And what did you say about the iPhone? That's stupid.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's stupid. I'd never want one of those. Why do you guys get those? That's so lame.
Okay.
And then she finally got one.
That's awesome.
And now,
so what we
just
need to do
couldn't
is we
live
need to get
without
CJ
one.
No. An Apple Watch and then see what happens.
Okay. I will admit I was wrong about the iPhone, but I still think you look ridiculous.
Yep.
With the watch.
Would you use a different type of form, CJ? Like if you had an Apple Watch, just go with me on this. Would you talk differently into it, or is there a different
way
to utilize
cool way.
The watch?
There's no cool way to talk into your wrist. There's no cool way.
I mean, you
way.
Could put it on your ankle. Yeah, you could make
no.
it like.
And the other thing I don't get is he's got the Apple Watch on his wrist and the iPhone in his back pocket. They are feet from each other, yet he is so thankful to be able to talk into his wrist rather than pulling out his phone.
Can you watch Netflix on the Apple Watch?
No.
No.
Oh, then what's the point?
You've tried.
Can you? Well, listen, for all of you that would love an Apple Watch or have a current Apple Watch, feel free to tweet CJ, Queen, SEAJAY.
Yep.
Just tweet her and let her know how much she is missing with this Apple Watch.
It's true.
I will post a picture of Banning talking into his watch.
Hey, go
in
video.
Response
do a video.
To all your tweets.
Whatever. Listen, this month we are talking about leading from generosity. I think a topic as a leader that's huge. I think Jesus deals with this a lot. I think obviously we're going to hear from Bill in just a minute in his sermon about how that will impact culture. But I think the reality is, as a leader, if you are holding on to things, if your stance is to hold on to things rather than give them, you're already in trouble. That as leaders, we're called to kind of lay our lives down for others and for society, and generosity just works with that.
I think it's interesting. I kind of grew up with a mindset that generosity was something you did when you had extra with anything. Oh, when I have extra time, then I'll be generous. When I have extra money, then I'm generous, you know. And kind of being in this culture and really hearing Bill's teaching shifted my mindset that it's, I heard somebody say, you know, in all circumstances of my life, I have decided to be generous. So it's changed it for me. It's been a total game changer. It's not just something that I do when there's excess of something. It's a way that I live despite my circumstances.
And I think it's more powerful mm-hmm. when you do it.
When you don't have excess.
When you don't have excess. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's even more, it's more costly. It's more powerful. I think it has greater impact even.
Yeah, as a family, we've really decided to go forward and live a generous life, not just with our finances, but with our time. We really have a heart for the community and to make sure that we're out there not just with the church, but with people in the community, giving our time and just showing people that we care mm-hmm. about them and their lives. And I feel like it's been really interesting when you encounter somebody who hasn't experienced somebody who's willing to do that, they're surprised that you'd be willing to give your time.
Especially in the church world sometimes, unfortunately, yeah. you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of wondering, what are the strings attached, or, you right. know, what's behind this?
Do you want me to go to your church now?
Yeah, there's no motive behind it. It really just, it amazes people. It's yeah. cool.
Yeah, and ultimately I think that, you know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave, that we have a Father who's generous, and we reflect his character when we are generous. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, Jesus laid his life down for others and then said, go do that. And so I think that, you know, in society, both amongst one another as believers, but also in society, we reflect the nature of God mm-hmm. when we are generous.
Yeah.
Because he was generous to us. He is generous to us. He continues to be generous to us. And the amount of verses around the fact that he's a giver of good gifts. You know, if you ask, for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give. I mean, there's just this constant
yeah.
kind of view that God's a generous God. That Jesus laid his life down for people, and he calls us to do the same thing, and we represent who he is in the world that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is, generosity is one of the significant ways that people see or encounter the very nature and heart of God. And we can't ignore this as leaders.
Well, let's jump into this. Pastor Bill Johnson, I really think, does an incredible job at tackling this issue of generosity, and not just generosity, but how it impacts society. And so we are going to listen to another clip from that sermon.
A generous lifestyle affects how you see the world around you. It's going to affect money. But let me tell you something. If generosity for you is only the dollars of your pocket, then you haven't learned generosity. This is not about money, but it will include it. It's about our lives. The Queen of Sheba had a prophetic word for Solomon. And that word was, God has given you extraordinary favor because of his love for Israel around you. In other words, he's giving you a huge amount of this because of who he's put around you that you get to serve. That's a convicting statement, because that means every time God opens a door for you and me to come into a greater place of favor, all he's doing is increasing the resource that we live with of insight, of emotional energy, of prophetic anointing, of, you know, faith, of all these things. He's increasing our capacity to serve the people around us well. Favor that ends with us is pouring into a Dead Sea. Favor is always to flow through us to impact and transform the people around us. That's the purpose of divine favor. And this concept of kings building kingdoms, that's what God warned Israel about. Kings that would use their sons and daughters as servants. They would amass great wealth out of their resources, and they would build their empire at the expense of Israel's health and wealth and well-being. And what you see in Solomon's day, this chapter here where you see this royal generosity, it's not many verses later when you see a profound statement that now suddenly Israel has prospered so much that silver is piled up in the streets and it is counted as nothing. What does that statement follow? It follows the statement of royal generosity. The last thing in the world, I love to take offerings, but the last thing in the world I would want to do right now is receive an offering. And the reason is because I don't want to cheapen this message to a dollar message. Yeah. To me, it's your words to the waitress that serves you this afternoon. It's the way we speak to our most familiar friends. It is the way in which we value other people's time. We don't consistently show up at our appointments with our friends a half hour late because we selfishly value our time more than theirs. There's something about our approach to life that just says, I'm going to live generously because I value and celebrate the grace that rests on people's lives around me. I believe this anointing that was on Solomon is to be released to a generation where we don't become know-it-alls. We don't become people, the power people in charge of everything. If God puts you in charge, great, but remember, you're a servant. We use the position that God has given us, the wisdom, the insight, the ability to serve, the ability just to love people, to get into the system, to see transformation from the inside because we're there, because we actually like people, because we actually value things improving. Having a neighborhood, one by one, we've seen it in our own city, where neighborhoods where people didn't want to, you know, walk the street at night, they now sit out on their, in recliners, you know, lawn chairs in the front yards. Why? Because some of you have invaded those neighborhoods, have brought the kingdom, and such mercy and compassion has been displayed that it's just stunning. There's transformation of scary places into very, very safe places. Why? Because of this. That's what royalty does. Royalty creates safety and believes in people. It empowers people. It celebrates divine assignments. And this is a privilege that we have. Solomon, out of this mandate, out of this lifestyle, was enabled by God to build a temple that is just ridiculous. Now this is what a nation prospering so much that silver piles up. And the people prospered so much that the citizens of the city had no more regard for the silver. It piled up on their neighborhoods, on their watch, in their streets. It was counted as nothing. Are you getting the point? That in that context, Solomon's personal income, just of gold, not the other tons of stuff, just one of his multiple sources of income, was equal to $1 billion a year. Don't be tripped up by the amount, because nobody on the planet has that amount. It's the words, it's the time, it's the way I see people. A heart of generosity sees potential in people. Do you know what a heart of royal generosity is? All it is the Old Testament term for a prosperous soul. A prosperous soul that actually regulates income and health is actually impacted by prosperous soul. I believe the Lord is increasing the resource of every person in this room. Economic, emotional strength, the ability to hear from the Lord and to live generously, bringing words of strength and encouragement to people, using divine favor, realizing I have favor because of his love of the people around me, so I want to serve them well. I believe that this role, this Solomon-type anointing, is one of the most powerful transformational tools that we have with which to serve our city.
Hey, JCLP, this is Phil from the UK. I just wanted to drop in and say a massive hi from the UK and from Europe. I know there's a bunch of you guys who listen over here and in Europe. And actually, I'm here really to tell you one thing, a really exciting piece of news that maybe some of you already heard about. But I'm really excited to get to let you guys know that we have our very first Jesus Culture European Conference coming up right here in Manchester in the UK, coming up at the end of October. It's our first annual, it's our inaugural gathering right here in the UK. And we're calling you guys to come and be involved, come and jump in and come be a part of this incredible gathering. It's going to be the 30th and the 31st of October here in Manchester. Manchester's a great city, very easy for you to get to right from across the whole of the UK and out into Europe. So we've chosen Manchester because it's a significant city and God's doing some incredible things here, but also it's easy for you to get to. We have John Gray who's going to be with us. And of course, our very own Banning Leibscher will be with us. We have worship from the Jesus Culture Band. We've got Brian and Katie are going to be with us. Chris McClarney, a UK worship leader. Some of you may have heard of Penny Larkman is going to be with us as well. So in terms of our worship, it's going to be an amazing time of gathering to worship. You can find out a bunch of information on our Jesus Culture website. Also, there's direct links in the show notes. So do jump in, log on, and go and register for that. But my heart for you guys in Europe and the UK is to call you to an event that's not just a conference, but it's a part of God's significant strategic move of revival in our nations. And I want you to come and be a part of this significant gathering. We've, as Jesus Culture, been investing in the UK and Europe for many, many years now, but we felt the call of the Lord to get together to create a gathering where we can call young and old together to come and worship, to come and be inspired, to become and be equipped for the revival that's going on. So come on out, come be a part of this incredible event, October 30th, 31st, and we're going to have an amazing time together. I look forward to seeing you.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
All right, welcome everybody to another installment of the Music Spotlight here on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. I'm Derek Johnson, one of the worship leaders here at Jesus Culture. And today we have the awesome privilege of chatting with Christy Knuckles. And we're going to pick her brain on a couple of topics and talk about her new album, Let It Be Jesus, that released earlier this year. So Christy, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on the podcast here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about a little bit about the writing process. There's some really amazing songs on this. I know one of the songs that kind of resonated with me was the song My Anchor. And if you can just maybe briefly tell me a little bit about that particular song.
Yeah, so I wrote this one with Jason Ingram, and Jason has been a friend of ours for like 15 years. And he is another one that I just always love to go at least try to get something or try to sit down. And I hadn't seen Jason in a while. And what I love about co-writing too is just often it's so much about the conversation that's happening, you know, before you even get into the song, because often that will kind of shape where it goes. And we basically sat there for like an hour and just talked about the church as a whole and kind of society and like culture. And we talked about kind of the things that bother us about social media. And we kind of went through just, you know, this kind of chat. And then it was neat because we were like, we prayed and we were like, okay, Jesus, in light of everything that concerns us today, show us what to sing, you know? So he kind of had started this song, My Anchor, and he had kind of a verse and a chorus idea. And I loved it immediately because I'm like, I had kind of wanted to write something kind of hymnish, and it reminds me sort of that of the On Christ the Solid Rock, that kind of anthem. And so immediately I connected with it. And so we finished the second verse together. We wrote the bridge together and kind of tweaked on the chorus, but that probably took half a day, you know, and that's kind of the, how it unfolded. And it's neat because every time I sing it, I think about that conversation and the things that I remembered, you know, that we were praying about, and you know, just how to kind of navigate through life right now, and everything that touches us or everything that concerns us, you know, really just making that confession with your life that he is the rock, you know, that I'm standing
that's so
on.
Good.
And there's so much distraction and so many things that can, you know, keep our minds from what the truth is. And so I love just that anthem that, you know, you can sing truth.
Before we let you go, with kind of the last thing that we'd love to ask is, you know, again, you've been a leader and have a lot of experience just in worship leading, and then also just being a part, of the body of Christ. And so it'd be amazing just to have you share what's kind of that, probably had this question before, but what's that one like piece of advice, that little golden nugget that if someone could have told you when you were younger, you know, would have helped out a bunch. But what's that one piece of advice that you maybe give another young leader who's maybe listening to this, who says, you know, what's something I can carry away and apply, you know, right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, something that I really just every day that God reminds me of, and I wish I would have known when I first started out, was just not confusing who I am with what I do. And I know that sounds really simple, but really, probably 4 or 5 years ago, God just showed me this concept in scripture of it's out of Psalm 37, but just delight yourself in the Lord, you know, verse 4, he will give you the desires of your heart. And for the first time, God showed me that's kind of a dual meaning. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but it's like he's the instiller and he's the fulfiller. You know, and he'll give you.
That's a great way to put that,
He'll show you. Literally, he'll show you what your desires are, and because they're his for you. And then it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Like, he'll hold up your cause. And I think as a young worship leader, I felt like, okay, well, I'm the one that has to promote my gift. I have to hold up my cause. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do every tour. I got to say yes to everything.
All these pressures you put on yourself. Yeah. Trying to.
But really, he showed me, it's almost like a target sign, but like in the middle of that bullseye is just that I'm his beloved. And then he'll take care of all those outer rings. But what I found is I exhausted myself for years being in all those outer rings and being a young mother and trying to have three children and do what I do. Yeah. I just learned I can't do everything, and everything that I do, I've got to do it from that place of beloved. And so that's why it's so important every day to go back to him, kind of crawl back in that bullseye.
Yeah.
As beloved, you know, and then you think about it when you go into all those outer rings, which is kingdom stuff,
yeah,
which is all amazing things,
yeah, all good stuff, but flowing out of that
yeah
place.
you walk out of that place of beloved, and that changed everything for me. And I'm beloved first, and then I go be love to the world, you know.
Oh,
and
so
don't get
good.
It mixed up.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor, don't mix that up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, Christy, if you can, maybe just tell us where people could go to find out more about your music and your ministry.
Yeah, it's just christyknockels.com. Knockels is kind of hard. It's N-O-C-K-E-L-S. christyknockels.com. And everything, is pretty much on there. So
awesome. Well, if you guys haven't already, really go pick up this album, Let It Be Jesus. It's an incredible project. And Christy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Find me on my knees. Find me close to thee. Find me at the feet of Find me on my knees, bind me close to thee, bind me at the feet of Jesus.
Well, we are really excited to launch the Jesus Culture Leadership Community, which we refer to as the JCLC. The JCLC is an online platform that's going to provide leaders like yourself access to a healthy community. We believe that leadership flows out of the context of healthy community. It's going to infuse you with strength and courage to lead boldly where God's placed you. We're going to equip you specifically for leaders that find themselves serving churches. Maybe you find yourself serving campuses, or maybe you're engaged in culture. That's our heart. We want to raise up leaders and flood the earth to see cities and nations being transformed. What's all included in the JCLC? Every month, you're going to get exclusive interviews with featured leaders that Banning and Jesus Culture is rubbing shoulders with. You're going to be filled with encouragement. Every week, you're going to get encouragement from Banning and other leaders in your inbox. You're going to dialogue with us on Google Hangouts. So every month, you'll be able to send in your questions, and you're going to get those answers. It's going to be just an intimate time in a Google Hangout. And then you're going to be able to comment and give us your feedback on articles from leaders that are influencing our movement. Hey, we have a real heart to connect leaders, you know, really around the globe. And this is the opportunity. So check it out. You can go to jesusculture.com/community and check out the free trial issue.
Banning's Book Club. Banning's Book Club.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Books that all will have inspired, encouraged, and equipped us.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. As we've said before on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, one of the things that we do is really want to bring you resources. We want to bring you, whether it's worship music or leaders with interviews, whatever it is, we want to bring you resources that we're drawing from and have impacted us. So for Banning's Book Club, which I know is your favorite segment, we try to bring you books that really are making an impact and have made an impact on us. One of those books I'm excited to talk about today because the author has had a great influence on my life, considered to be a real great friend, and has really inspired my life as a leader. Brad Lomanick, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for hanging out.
Love being on the line. I'm a long-time listener. First-time caller, right?
That's awesome. I feel like there needs to be a bell I ring. Ding! That's fantastic.
Yes, ding!
Hey, listen, you've got a book that's about to come out. I was able to get an advanced copy of it. Really excited about that. H3 Leadership. Talk to me about this book. Tell me, first of all, just give me an overview of this book, and then I want to hear kind of why you felt the need to write it. But first, just tell me about the book, H3 Leadership.
Yeah. Well, the H3 stands for three words, which is humble, hungry, and hustle. And sort of the subtitle is be humble, stay hungry, and always hustle. And for me, that's been my leadership mantra. You know, when somebody says define your leadership and really your posture of leadership, that's the three H's are the things that I try to live out. And, you know, there's a lot to each of those. But if we can sort of stand up on that footstool of humble, realizing it's not about me, hungry, you know, I've never arrived, I don't ever arrive, and I've always got to have a posture of learning, and then hustle, which is, you know, you got to go for it. Like, you got to be willing to work hard and get things done and move things across the finish line. Leadership is difficult work. And I think if it's going to be hard, whatever it is in life, it's got to be habitual. We've got to put habits in place. And so part of the premise of the book is that there's 20 chapters that are 20 habits that I feel like are really important that have to be put in place in order for us to be sustainable in our leadership over time.
Yeah, I love it. You mentioned the issue of hard work. It's interesting because you can go down the list of things, whether it's marriage, whether it's parenting, there are things like that, whether it's leadership, that are, it's easily some of the hardest stuff I've ever done and simultaneously the most rewarding. And and easily some of the most rewarding things in life are some of the hardest things in life. And it's that tension that if we run away from hard stuff or things that are work, we miss so much of the rewarding parts of life. Talk to me just quickly about your last part about always hustle. It's interesting to me. Again, we don't just have millennials listening to this podcast, but a lot of what we would be talking about with younger leaders, who I just have a real heart for, is they're some of the most passionate people in the world, but have somewhat lost that work ethic type concept. And I think a lot of it is we just ask so much, what's your passion? What's your passion? What's your passion? That we begin to think that it's, you know, passion alone that really gets you somewhere. Or to be honest with you, I think that especially for us in America, the war generation, you know, we're a couple generations removed from that. And so, you know, the World War II generation, nobody was asking what their passion was when they get out of college. They're like, my passion is to go work somewhere and provide for my family. And and now it's not that, where everybody's asking what your passion is. Talk to me a little bit about the need that you see to actually see that concept of hustle or hard work or work ethic really kind of get in young leaders that has to be married with passion.
Well, first of all, I want to redeem the word hustle. I feel like culture stole it from us, especially those of us in the Christian community. Yeah. We're like, sometimes we're afraid to even use the word. Like, man, hustle is so much a part of the fabric, what I think a good leader does. And I think what a follower of Jesus should look like is somebody who is willing to, you know, move the ball forward and take things across the finish line. And so that's the first thing. I want to kind of bring that word back into the Christian world, especially Christian leadership, and say it's okay for us to you know, hashtag hustle. Like, that's a good thing. And as you said, with this, you know, with younger leaders especially, I feel like we have to teach them how to do that, because it's not natural. It's not, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I just know that young leaders today, they're not afraid to hustle. I just don't think they know how sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, the hard work of execution, of sticking with something, of being willing to, you know, be faithful to something for years, you know, that's something we need to teach the next generation. And so part of our reality is that we have to be willing to create environments that will not only like model that, but also encourage it. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, if you want to be important on your team and you're a young leader, if you get things done,
Yeah.
You will advance up the food chain really fast.
Yes. If people can put responsibility.
You have to be talented to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What's that?
If people can put responsibility on you, that concept that I can place responsibility on you and the ball's not dropped is a big,
you got it.
We need to have more value for. And that moving up, that leadership, that's really good. Hey, before we go, I sure appreciate you just investing in leaders like you do. I know how much work it is to write and to get that stuff done. So I appreciate you investing in leaders. Take some time with us. Before I let you go, give me three books right now. If you were sitting down with young leaders in a room right now, what's the three books you tell them go get?
Oh, gosh. You put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Axiom by Bill Hybels.
Love it.
Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley.
One of
Entree
you.
Leadership by Dave Ramsey.
There we go. Perfect. See, you could do it. You absolutely could do
Boom.
It. Hey, listen, how do people connect with you online? Give me social media, website. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, everything is at Brad Lominick.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My website is bradlominick.com, so that's the easiest way.
Perfect. All right. Well, listen, we'll make sure that all of that is up on the website as well for the podcast. You can go there, get links. Brad, again, thank you so much for jumping on and just sharing about your book. We're excited to let people know about
Love it,
man. And read that, and we'll connect again.
Well, that concludes our second Reese's Cup, our second Twix bar, our... Can't really say second Kit Kat because it's our fourth Kit Kat. We do two at a time. How about that?
No, it doesn't work.
We have loved CJ's hanging out with
you guys. CJ's looking very confused right now about Reese's and...
because she doesn't listen to the podcast.
I don't even know. Yeah, what?
I am shocked.
What?
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We hope this has been an inspiring time for you, equipping you further as a leader. As always, you can check us out on iTunes. Yes?
I think, too, we've talked about this generosity thing. I just want to say practically, look this week, look for an opportunity to live this out and be generous.
Amen, brother.
With those that you lead, with a friend, with a family member.
What a good closing word. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Zach.
You're welcome.
Check us out on social media at JC Podcast. Join the conversation. Let us know what you're doing. Right now as I'm speaking, Manning is checking his Apple Watch. So that is just really
So that's
awesome.
What he's doing. Let us know what you're doing.
Guys, I'm responding to a text right now, and I don't even have to speak into it. I can just respond.
He's picking an emoji.
Picking an emoji.
Thank you guys so much. We will see you next time.